Blog Talk Radio.
F. Sutton, Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 on your FM dial, Big Cabbage Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on Radio Free Palmer, KVRF. Tonight we have a couple of rising, up-and-coming future Iditarod stars, Aaliyah Robinson and Andy Noble, calling in, I believe, from Eagle River, Alaska. Aaliyah, how are you doing?
Good.
Nice to have you on. I know you've never done radio, so just kick back and relax a little bit and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm 17 years old, and I have been born and raised in Alaska, and I have been mushing for 14 years.
Wow. So you started at a very young age, as well as your brother at the age of four. You have more experience than a lot of adult mushers do.
Yes.
So on the line also is your brother, Andy Noble. Andy, how's it going?
I'm doing good.
And you are 14 years old. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm 14 years old. I was born in Bethel and raised around Anchorage, and I've been mushing for about 10 years.
Wow, very cool. So before we get too far into this, you guys, do you guys have a website, Facebook page? What do you have in order for people to find out more about you guys?
We have personal Facebook pages, but our mushing organizations have Facebook pages of their own, too.
And do you know the names or the addresses for those?
One is Anchorage Sled Dog Racing Association, or ASDRA.
Okay.
And they have a website, and the other one is Kugiak Dog Mushers. I think ASDRA has more extensive websites and Facebook pages, though.
Okay, cool. So, Aaliyah, let's start with you. You started mushing when you were about 4 years old, when you grew up in Bethel, Alaska. That's over on the western side. Remember, guys, that we have listeners from all over the country, all over the world listening, all kinds of mushing fans, so you have a lot of exposure here. And you started mushing with a Golden Retriever Alaskan Husky mix, just one dog. Is that how you got started?
Yes. When we were in Bethel, we owned a couple Golden Retrievers, and we rescued the Sandy, the Golden Retriever Husky mix. And we started out with hooking them up to an old traditional racing sled, and we'd throw tennis balls for the Golden Retrievers, and they'd pull us. So that's how it all started.
And, of course, like you said, that's how it all started. You know, with mushing, it is very quick to pretty soon have a full-fledged racing team, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So as you get your start at a very young age, before school is even in the picture for you, what got you involved with mushing? Were you guys a mushing family? Did you have, you know, mushing parents? What caught your eye to be really involved in the sport?
We were a host family in Bethel, Alaska for the Kuskokwim 300 a couple years in a row. And one of the mushers that stayed at our house was Jessie Royer, and she got us involved with the whole thing. She gave us our first sled dog, and we kept in contact with her, and we're still really good friends. So she's the one who got us involved and gave us most. We have most of our dogs come from her.
You know, I definitely want to get into that story here in a little bit, especially about your guys' travels to France and a race over there. That's a pretty interesting story, at least from your guys' bio. I'm definitely interested in that. If we could, Andy, you've also been mushing since you were a little guy, well before school even started. Were you just following in your sister's footsteps? Did she kind of egg you on and say, hey, buddy, you need to get on the sled too, or did you have that own fascination for yourself?
Yeah, actually, right when I got to a young age, my mom and dad just put me in it, just like my mom, my sister.
So you guys come primarily, at least from my understanding, from a sprint mushing background, at least in the near past, I guess, the recent times. But now you're training for junior Iditarods and stuff like that, right?
Well, we primarily have done sprint mushing, but in the past few years, my sister has done a little mid-distance and distance racing, and she did the junior Iditarod, I think, 2 years ago.
Very cool. So, Andy, tell us about, you know, we haven't had a junior musher on Mushing Radio yet. We've had a lot of you know, the who's who of mushing on, you know, the CVs and the Mackies and the Boosers and the Genros and those type of folks on, but we haven't had a junior musher yet. Tell our listeners a little bit about that experience, you know, growing up in that kind of world. How does school fit in? You know, when I was mushing years ago, when my kids were about yours at your age, we were also a mushing family, but it was so tough to take the kids out of school, you know, on a Thursday and go mushing on the weekend, and they would miss Thursday, Friday, and Monday of school. How was it for you guys? Were you homeschooled? Did you miss a lot of school growing up? How was it?
Well, it is tough at times, but Aaliyah's sophomore year when she did the junior Iditarod, I still don't understand how she did it, because right after school she'd go out and train for a couple hours alone.
Wow, but you were missing a lot of school and whatnot, having to go to races and things, or was it pretty local?
The races are usually on the weekends, but sometimes we miss a Friday for a 3-day wait race over the weekend.
Right. So let's turn it over to Aaliyah Robinson, 17 years old, planning on mushing in the junior Iditarod. Is that this year that you're planning on that as well?
Yes, I'm planning on running this year in February.
In February. Tell us about that race. Last week we had on Lacey Hart, which is also an up-and-coming musher, has done the junior Iditarod several times. But, we haven't had somebody that's competing right now. Tell us a little bit about that race. How long is it? Where does it start? Where does it end? That sort of stuff.
It is 150 miles. And it usually starts in Knick Lake or Willow, depending on the trail conditions. And then the finish is in Willow, where the restart of the Iditarod is.
Right there on the lake at the Willow Community Center.
Yes.
So what are you doing right now? You know, snow is pretty scarce, at least up here in Willow. We have just a couple of inches on the ground. What are you guys doing in terms of training for the junior Iditarod right now? Are you getting out still on the ATVs? Are you on snow machines? Are you doing short runs? What are you doing?
We are doing ATVs. When I was training, I haven't been doing too much training this year, but when I trained 2 years ago, we started with the ATV in September. And then we were hoping to be on the sleds now, but unfortunately we don't have enough snow for that.
Right. So what is your training plan then? If, you know, February is going to come and smack us all in the face pretty soon. I know my daughter, she's 15, and she's going to do the Willow Junior 100. I know you've competed in that race as well. That's only a couple of months away. What are your training goals up until that point?
I'm hoping to probably have running the dogs 50-mile runs and having them be able to run 50 miles back-to-back and just get them ready and make sure they have enough miles on them and they can run the amount that the different races are.
So I know you're 17, your brother Andy is 14. When you guys go out on those long 50-mile runs or, you know, possible overnight camping trips, that sort of thing, do you guys go alone? Do your parents go with you? How does that work?
We usually go alone. Our parents they mainly help with unloading the dogs and hooking up. But once we get on the trail, we're typically alone with just us and the dogs.
How is that for you as a youngster out there, you know, in the middle of the darkness, no telling what could come upon you, whether it be a moose or a wolf or God knows what?
I enjoy it. I don't really think about the wild animals I can run into, but I really like it. It's nice being out in the wilderness with your dogs and no one else.
So let's turn it over to Andy. Let's talk about that trip that you guys took as very young mushers to France. Tell us about that for us.
Yeah, it was a really great experience. Aaliyah placed first and I got third. It was really fun because we had to use French dogs, and so we had to relearn all the commands. And so it was pretty entertaining to mess up on the trail while you're going through the course.
And that race that is ran in conjunction with the Le Grand Odyssey, or however you pronounce that in French, is a junior form of that race. How long was that race?
It probably lasted maybe 7 minutes on the trail. It was very, very short.
Oh, so it was a real quick one. So it was more about gaining that experience of handling the dogs and you know, doing that whole process, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about the travel. Did you guys take any dogs with you at all? I know Jesse Royer went over there, or did she use somebody else's dogs?
Yeah, we didn't take any dogs. We used all French dogs. And Jesse Royer, she took her dogs with her to the Grand Odyssey, and they performed well in France.
Did she win that year?
She did.
What year was that?
2005.
So about 7-8 years ago now. What about the experience of mushing in a different country? I've never had the pleasure of mushing in France, but I have mushed other places. How is that in regards to mushing here in the U.S., the way they do things, the way that they set up their races, that sort of thing? Either one of you answer, please.
Leah talking. In France, it was kind of a big celebration. There is throughout the checkpoints, there were a ton of people, spectators, lots of hot cider. So it was more of a celebration rather than a race. And it was a stage stop race, so for the adults. So they got to sleep overnight in nice hotels. And
did you find that it was more accepted in France? You know, here at races, there's not a whole lot, unless it's the Iditarod or something, there's not a whole lot of spectators, especially in the longer distance races. Typically, you'll finish in the middle of the night, and you're lucky to have two or three people there to greet you when you're done. Or at least, how was it in France, where there's a lot of fans and pandemonium and all that?
Yeah, exactly. There was a ton of fans. Even at the junior race, most of the gates would be lined with people cheering you on going through the course, and it was even more so for the adult race.
So, Andy, tell us about the Arctic Winter Games. I just know a little bit about that. I know you competed in that as well as your sister just a couple of years ago.
Yes, I competed in 2010 with my sister, and she competed this year in the spring. It's a really, really great experience. You get to meet a lot of different people, and you get to see how the different people mush from different places.
And what did you see that was different from how we do it here in Alaska or other parts of the country?
Well, in Nunavut, for example, they faced some challenges because they just mushed straight on the ice. And so the trees were a challenge because they had to curve around the trees, and they were not used to that. So.
And what about gear, Aaliyah? How is the gear different from different parts of the north?
The kids who are representing in Arctic Winter Games from Nunavut, they usually used flat sleds, and their dogs were, some of them used fan hitch.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't use that in the races, but they had to get their dogs used to running in the typical two dogs on both sides and a normal sprint sled. So that was interesting. Their dogs weren't used to trees at all, so there was some interesting encounters on the trails with that.
And where were they from again?
Nunavut.
Is that in northern Canada somewhere?
Yes.
Very cool. What about their dress? How was that different than what we use with the down and the Gore-Tex and all that?
Well, their gear in terms of clothing, it wasn't that much different. They still had parkas, and one of the families we know pretty well, their mom makes all their parkas, and they're very nice, and I'm sure they serve just as well as our gear.
And what about the dogs? Were they all the typical Alaskan Huskies that we see up here, or were they the big northern, you know, Greenland Huskies and that sort of thing?
Most of them were the typical Alaskan Huskies, but there were more of the dogs that you'd see on Iditarod teams rather than the fast sprint dogs, so...
So that brings up my next question. We spoke earlier about you using sprint dogs for some of these longer distance races, including the Junior Iditarod. What is the biggest obstacle that you're facing with these sleeker, faster, sprintier, maybe houndy-looking dogs that you often see in sprint in regards to running these longer distance races like 150-mile Junior Iditarod, Aaliyah?
Well, most of our dogs come from Jesse, so they're originally distance dogs, but they are transitioned into sprinting, and we get most of them when they're fairly young, so they get used to the sprinting mindset. So it was interesting trying to train them longer distances, and I had to ride the brake a lot because they didn't like the idea of slowing down. So that was a challenge. And then another challenge I had was there's a lot of people who said that some people said, no, you can't make a distance dog a sprint dog, and then there are other people who said, no, you can't make a sprint dog a distance dog. So that was interesting to see what different people's thoughts were.
And how did you do that? What was your process? Was it a multi-season process to switch them over, or what did you guys do to make that transition from one? It's literally one sport to another, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we started in the fall, early in the fall, and we typically start later in the fall. And we started them very, very slow. We didn't go fast at all and built up their mileage. We tried to do it about 2 to 4 miles a week till we got up to the 50-mile run. So.
Very cool. So this question is actually the answer hopefully comes from both of you. And this is something that my daughter says. Obviously, she's about your guys' age. She's 15. She's a sophomore at Houston High School up here in the Valley. We live in Willow. And one of the things I told her very early on, and maybe I sound like a bad dad or maybe I'm just a mushing dad, I told her at the beginning of the year, her name is Nicole, I said, Nicole, between now and mid-February, your life is mushing. Don't count on going to the movies or dates or whatever. What is your guys' life between now and when the race season is over?
You do have to kind of cut down a little bit on the social life to get all the training in. But it's usually not that severe.
So I'm being a little rough on Nicole then.
Yeah, we still hang out with friends and go to movies, but our weekends are usually always, our Saturdays and Fridays are usually always filled up with dog races. So we can't participate in the normal, like in cross-country skiing or basketball in the winter time.
Right, right. And, you know, that's kind of what I meant. We definitely have that time where we do the typical family stuff, going out to eat and movies and that sort of stuff. But like you said, the weekends are dedicated to training and to races and all that sort of stuff. What do you guys do other than mushing? What are you involved in? Are you guys involved in sports, other activities, scouts, what?
Well, this fall I actually did swimming for the first time, and it was really nice. I also do soccer in the summer and spring.
And Aaliyah?
We have 3 Icelandic horses that we own, so we do a lot of horseback riding. And then I am also a cross-country runner, so I did that in the fall, this fall. So
let's talk a little bit about that. You often hear a lot of the really elite mushers, thinking about Jean Rowe and other guys and gals like that, they do a lot of running as well. How does that help you out there on the trail, being able to hold your own for long distances?
It definitely keeps me in shape, and keeps me in shape throughout the winter. Once the season's over, I usually don't carry on with running, but just the whole knowing about what to do when you're running long distances really helps you with training on the trails with the dogs. And even the way that you train yourself for cross-country running helps you know how to train your dogs also. So
with that, making sure you're able to take care of yourself, if you both can answer this, you know, a typical teenager has a very interesting diet. What is your guys' diet out there on the trail, and how is it different from your typical teenager of hamburgers, soda pop, and french fries?
Well, during the mushing season, you usually want to be kind of careful on what you eat. You don't want to eat too much junk food, and especially during races and before races, you kind of want to have a wholesome meal the night before a race, and just try not to load with sugar before a race.
Aaliyah, do you pack anything special to eat on the trail? You know, that's kind of a musher's little secret, what they take on the trail to eat. I know you've done those longer distance races. What do you pack that's special, at least for your meals?
I really like fruit, so I try to pack strawberries because they're my favorite. So that's a good snack to have on the trail. And then typically food that doesn't freeze, because it's not fun having food that you're looking forward to eating and then you find out that your food's frozen. So.
What are you guys drinking out there on the trail?
I drink water. I drink water.
And what about you, Andy?
I'm not out there for too long, but usually water.
You know, Capri Suns work great. Even if they freeze, you can throw them right in the cooker, and they're thawed out and ready to go.
Yeah.
We've never tried that. That does sound like a great idea, though.
And it may sound gross, but when you're out there on those long-distance runs, you just take a couple of frozen Capri Suns and put them in the armpit of your pocket parka, and they're ready to go halfway down the trail.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's a good tip I learned from a long-distance musher several years ago. So if you're out there and you're tired of water, break out one of those Capri Suns. It's the perfect trail drink for mushing, I think. So Aaliyah Robinson and Andy Noble is our guest tonight here on Mushing Radio. They're up-and-coming, future, possibly Iditarod stars. What's your guys' plan for the future?
I'm a senior in high school, so I plan to go to college, but I'm definitely going to keep mushing. I just have to get through college and then probably come back, to Alaska and start running again. And I think it'd be fun to run the Iditarod.
Where are you going to school, if you have a choice yet?
Probably the East Coast.
The East Coast, getting as far away from the cold of Alaska as you can.
Yeah, Northern New York, so it's a little similar with the weather, but not quite as cold as Alaska.
Do you have an idea of what you want to study yet?
I'm thinking something in the medical field.
Very cool. And what about you, Andy? What are your plans after high school?
I'm a freshman, so I plan to continue mushing until I'm out of high school, but I'm also going to college on the East Coast. But I think I probably will come back to Alaska and maybe continue mushing. I don't think I'm going to do much distance mushing. I don't necessarily enjoy it, but I'm definitely thinking, I'll definitely plan to maybe do some of the more advanced sprint mushing, like the Rondi and other adult sprints, like
the North American and all those sorts of races, right?
Definitely, yep.
So with you, that brings up a great question that I have for you guys. How do you guys share the dogs? If you're doing sprint mushing and your sister's doing distance mushing, what do you guys do in terms of picking and choosing the dog teams for any given run?
Usually at the beginning of the season, we kind of segregate a different team for each of us, and usually we use the same team for the whole season. And sometimes when our dogs are used up, we have to improvise and share dogs sometimes. Sometimes Aaliyah gets the faster dog. Sometimes I get the faster dog.
Aaliyah, any comments on that?
Well, this year, Andrew's probably going to be running in the seven-dog class with me. So that'll be – and there's not many people in the seven-dog class up here in Eagle River.
So you're going to blow the competition away then.
Yeah. So we both have one another as competitors, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
You know, the interesting about sprint mushing is you can see results, at least in terms of prize money and that thing, pretty soon after you get involved if you got a good team, whereas distance mushing, it takes a heck of a lot of training and a heck of a lot of effort to be in the quote-unquote money positions. How do you guys differentiate between the two?
Well, I agree with you that the distance takes a lot more work, but we don't usually get that much of a monetary prize after a race, but when we do, it's rewarding.
And it all goes back to the dog food, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, guys, we have about 7 to 8 minutes left. definitely tell us about your dogs. Maybe you guys can go one at a time. Since you guys sort of had two separate teams, maybe tell us who your some of your favorites are, maybe about your leaders, you know, how big they are, males, females, who runs better with each other, that sort of thing. Either one of you go first.
Okay, this is Aaliyah talking. I have a really good dog. He's my lead dog, and he's been my lead dog for quite a few years now. He's 8, so he's starting to slow down. But his name's Buff, and he is probably about 50, 55 pounds, so he's a bigger size. And then we also have Roy. We had a litter of puppies, and I use 2 of the males on my team, and they're pretty big boys too.
And how old are they?
They are 4 now.
Okay, so they're definitely past the yearling stage. They're full adult dogs ready to go. One final question in regards to the dogs, Aaliyah. How many dogs are you allowed to take on the junior Iditarod? And if you're allowed a certain number, is that what you're planning on?
You are allowed 10 dogs, and I'm definitely going to take as many as I can, so I'll be running 10.
And Andy, tell us about your dog team.
Well, actually, Buff's son, his name is Lego. I named him when I was smaller, and I was into those toys. I use him. He's my main lead dog. He's a little smaller than Buff. He's probably 40, 45 pounds. He's very smart. Probably my favorite dog. I also use this dog named Lotus, and he's a smaller dog. Last year, I had a really good team, and I actually semi-trained a litter of Jesse Royer's pups, and they were very good for me.
And are you training him in the sprint mushing, you mean?
Yeah, she gave us them to train, and I also got to use them in races.
So, guys, tell us about the trails. If folks aren't real familiar with the Eagle River, Chugiak area, it's definitely urban mushing, isn't it? Where do you guys train?
Yeah, we live up on the hillside, so if we wanted to, we could make a trail up here, but it'd be quite a chore. So we have to go down to the Chugiak dog trails, and they're about probably a 10, 15-minute drive from our house. So it's a little bit of a trek loading up the dogs and the sleds and everything, but it's not too bad.
And there's a lot of traffic out there, isn't there?
Yeah, depending on what time of day you go.
So you guys get in a pretty good practice routine of passing and on bys and trail and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Your dogs have to be very good at that because you have head on passes and all sorts of different things on those trails.
So Andy, just a couple of minutes left. Anything you want to tell all of our listeners out there? Anybody you want to thank? Anything like that?
I want to thank Jessie for the most because she really started us in mushing, and she sustained us. I mean, all of our dogs pretty much come from her, and she's really been a great help in our mushing careers. And also my parents for helping us and supporting us through these years, and they help us with loading the dogs and getting us out there, and it's a big chore.
You know, my last question for you, Andy, since you brought up your parents, how much input do they have on the day-to-day operations, you know, preparing the dogs, getting them ready, which dogs are going to go where, et cetera, or are they just, you know, the folks that that are paying the bill, so to speak?
On the training runs, I think my sister has jurisdiction on who runs what, but my parents definitely have good input, and they help me out with choosing the right dogs and how to train.
Very cool. Aaliyah, do you have anything else you want to mention in terms of thanking people or just something you want our listeners to know?
I'd like to thank you for having us on the radio show. It's been very fun talking with you.
Well, you're welcome for sure. And, you know, guys, I have one final question. I ask this to every single guest. And, you know, we introduced you on the show by saying that you guys have a heck of a lot of experience, much more experience than a lot of adult mushers out there. You guys have been mushing for a long time. So my question to you guys both is, What piece of advice would you give to those guys that are first starting out, whether it's the sprint musher or the long-distance musher or the rec musher that has two or three dogs in the backyard, or the old standby, the guy that packs up the U-Haul to move here to Alaska to chase after dreams? What is one piece of advice you could tell those guys or gals, starting with Andy?
Well, depending on which kind of, like, if it's a younger musher doing, like, maybe the one or two dog sprint class, definitely my one piece of advice is hold on.
That's great advice. Never let go of the sled, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. And Aaliyah?
I'd probably say to take good care of your dogs and give them lots of love and stay persistent through it all. I know it can be a lot of time. It's very time consuming when you get up to training and everything, but it definitely pays off and it's very rewarding.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you being on. I know we met pretty briefly last Sunday down at a photo shoot. They were using our puppies and your adult dog, so I'm so happy for the connection, and definitely thank your mom for allowing you guys to do this. I really appreciate it, and we'll make sure that we send over some links and stuff that you guys can put on Facebook and let your friends listen and all that stuff, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That was Aaliyah Robinson and Andy Noble calling in from the Eagle River Chugiak area. It's about 30 minutes or so from Anchorage for folks that are listening outside of Alaska. Very urban-type mushing there in Eagle River. Look forward to watching these guys. I think they're going to be something to be witnessed out there on the trails. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk again soon. And until next time, this is Robert Forto on behalf of Mushing Radio. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a good night, okay, guys?
Yeah, you too. It was really nice talking with you.
Likewise. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yep. Bye.